few years ago, which is 2 years ago, I had the honor of officiating at a dear friend's wedding. And it was an interesting experience to do so. For after all, we had been friends for many years in the seminary. We were like the three musketeers when both of them left the seminary. But on that day, on his wedding day, I was not only a friend, but I was also the priest, a witness, and the presider of the liturgy. It was definitely a shift in roles. And I was tempted to roast him on his wedding day, but... You know, I've seen others who had more dramatic and difficult shift in roles. Now, right now, I know of two young women, not older than me, of just a few years younger than me, who are caring for their mother who is ill. Now, co-workers become managers. Managers become co-workers. All of life is filled with not just role changes, but relationship changes. For we know, brothers and sisters, that relationships are not static. They evolve. They change, especially the how we relate to one another. In the first century Jewish culture, that is, that being Jesus' day, relationship roles were no less important. In fact, in the last few weeks, we have seen this in the scriptures of how certain groups did not associate with the other. Kinship, that is, the family network, it was central to how much of the society operated then. And knowing and living and experiencing this system, Jesus still chooses to challenge this system, challenge this relationship and roles with his preaching about the kingdom of God, this family of God, this new relationship with God, this kinship with God. Jesus radically re-envisions what relationships should look like. And if that statement seems too strong a statement, that Jesus radically re-envisions relationships, then let us go back to the gospel, especially in the beginning part, where Jesus says, if anyone who does not hate your father, your mother, your wife, husband, children, relatives, friends, then you cannot be my disciple. That's a very strong word, isn't it? And every biblical commentary worth its salt will try to explain Jesus' words, or at the very least, tone it down. But that being said, I'm not sure if they are meant to be toned down. For as radical as it sounds, it has to be understood within the context of the entire passage. This passage that speaks about surrendering completely everything to God so as to become his disciple. And Matthew's version says it clearer, this particular passage. He says in his version, Matthew says, if anyone loves them more than he loves me, saying this is Jesus, then you are not fit to be my disciple. Now that is clearer. He is not forbidding us to love our families or friends, but that love for him is the priority. Love for Jesus is the priority. It should be the paramount love. And we learn to love our parents, our husband and wife, children, family and friends in the light of our love for Jesus. Our love for Jesus will determine how we will love our parents, husband and wife, family, friends, brothers and sisters. The controlling and the determining love is the love for Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus changes our relationship with others. It should be that lens of how we relate with other people. And Paul himself understood this very well, that the path to God, the way of discipleship changes us. If you remember his background, this Paul who is very rigid, who is a persecutor, he was a persecutor of Christians, has become so compassionate, so merciful. And today we read, and I believe it is the only time we hear it in this, in our three-year cycle from Paul's letter to Philemon. It is a letter seeking the release of Onesimus from the bondage of slavery. Onesimus was the servant to Philemon, and he ran away. He stole something. And while we don't hear the entire letter, Paul uses a variety of titles. Paul calls himself the prisoner of Christ, and a partner, Timothy, is brother. Philemon is beloved. Apphia, another person in the letter, is called our sister. And perhaps most striking for us today is that the one for whom Paul seeks freedom from the bondage of slavery, Onesimus, is referred to as both my child and brother. Again, Paul understands that it is in his relationship to Christ, our relationship to Christ, that our relationships with one another changes. Again, our call and conversion changes our relationships to others. Well, except here is the catch. I don't think our call changes the other. It's not that by walking the road of discipleship, my mother ceases to be my mother. Instead, it means I am called to become a better son who cares for my mother. In accepting my baptismal mark, my father does not cease to become my father. Instead, I am asked to respect him more deeply. In opening myself to the conversion the Christian journey calls me to, it does not mean that your son or daughter, friend, father or mother ceases to be your son or daughter, father, mother or friend. Instead, it means we are called to help our sons and daughters and friends and family grow in holiness by loving them. By loving them in the lens, in the light of our love to Jesus, our love for Jesus. By saying that I am a disciple, a member of the kingdom of God's family, it does not mean my enemies or those that I am frustrated with must necessarily change. Instead, I must change. I must open myself to conversion. Following Christ means reorienting how we relate to one another. The kingdom, to be kin to one another, changes me. It starts with me. In following Christ, it starts with each of us, but always in light of our relationship with Christ. And we should not take this lightly. Sometimes we like to calculate our discipleship because we know that discipleship comes at a cost. Maybe family, friends, or possessions. We try to calculate, but Jesus tells us that we follow him on his own terms. He gives us the terms. And there is a cost to discipleship, but there is a better gain. We gain so much more in being his disciple. We gain eternal life in Christ with him in heaven. So are we willing to help one another grow in holiness? It calls for a lot of humility. As our readings tell us last week, if you still remember. And that doesn't mean changing everyone else too. It means surrendering, opening myself first, conversion daily. Daily practice of humility. And to borrow Paul, we are prisoners for Christ. We are sisters and brothers. We are lover and beloved. We are partners in the gospel. We are disciples. We are kin. And today we surrender ourselves that Christ might help us become closer to one another and therefore closer to him. And through the grace of the sacraments and nourished by our own prayer life, may we become truly disciples. Amen.